shout hallelujah. Father, we thank you for a time like this before you. And we thank you for your grace, your power, your love, and your might. We thank you for the mightiness of the power of God. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Tonight, open our understanding. You are the greatest teacher. Teach us by your power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A louder amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Tonight, we are starting a new series in our spiritual hospital. And it's an important study. It is called Resisting the Enemy. Resisting the Enemy. And this is the first teaching in this series, which is the mystery of resisting the enemy. And straight away we go to our memory verse. It's in James chapter 4 verse 7. Are you ready to read it? Let's go. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Can you read that again? Submit yourself. Read it again. The second memory verse is in 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Let's read it together. Be sober, be vigilant, because you are advancing the devil as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, the text is in Ephesians. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 27. Short scripture. In fact, one of the shorted verses in scripture. Ephesians 4, 27. Very terse, very compact, and very straightforward. Are we there? Ephesians 4, 27. What does it say? Let's go. Neither give place to the devil. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. There is an entity called the enemy. There is an entity whose function it is to resist your movement. There is an entity that is not happy when somebody is making progress. There is an entity that is wickedly wicked and badly bad. There is something called the enemy. The enemy represents the powers of darkness in all their ramifications. The enemy has converted a lot of destiny to sawdust. The enemy has converted a lot of high flyer to low flyers. The enemy has shot down so many eagles. The enemy has disgraced so many shining stars. The enemy has caged so many people. The enemy has raped humanity. The enemy has exchanged human virtues. The enemy has killed what should make some people great. The enemy has buried some people alive. Although they are still walking about, but they are actually corpses. Many of us will not be where we are now if not for the activities of what the Bible calls the enemy. Many who will have been a transformer or a generator has been converted to nonentity because of the power of the enemy. The Bible recognizes that there is an enemy. They call the attention of that farmer. That farmer, you planted wheat, but this is tears amongst them. And he said, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. I'm praying for somebody here. Every plantation of the enemy in your destiny, let them be uprooted by fire in the name of Jesus. Let that amen roar like thunder. You may call the devil all kinds of names, but you cannot call him a fool. He knows what he's doing. They know what they are doing. All the cages and the traps the enemy is setting all over the place, they know what they are doing. Those who are selling all kinds of things that people put on their bodies to cage them, the enemy who is selling it knows what he's doing. He knows what they are doing. That's why if you do not fight back, you will become a casualty in the battle of life. Casualty in the battle of life. And it's a very, very serious matter. If you put two boxers in the ring and you say they should fight, and one of them is not fighting, he's not throwing any punches, he's just running about, defending himself, covering his face, running all over the place. Very soon they will knock him out because he is not fighting back. This is a very, very serious matter. And that makes James chapter 4, verse 7, which we read, the first scripture we read, very, very important. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Then what will the resistant do? And he will flee from you. The anointing that will make the enemy flee from you. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. Let that amen be loud and clear. But when did war begin? When did conflict begin? When did battles begin? War actually began in heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, I read from verse 7. It would be good to open to Revelation 12:7. But when did war begin? War, conflict started in heaven. War, conflict started in heaven. Revelation 12:7. Are you there? This is Bible study. Are you there now? And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon too fought and his angels. They too fought back. But something happened in verse 8. And prevail not. Your enemy will not prevail against you, Jesus. And prevail not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. They cast out his angels with him. Now, if there was war in heaven, why do you think it strange that there is war in your marriage? War in your health? War in your business? War with the children? There was war in heaven. The people in heaven had to fight to establish the purpose of God. So if the people in heaven had to fight to ensure that divine purpose is established, why do you think it's strange that you two need to fight? You need to fight to also establish the purpose of God in your life. Life is not fair. Life will not sometimes give you what you deserve. You need to offer a fight. You need to resist. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if he's not fleeing from you, the simple thing is that you are not resisting him correctly. If you are not carrying out the correct resistance, then he will not flee from you. Somebody wrote a book many, many years back. I don't used to see the book again. The title of the book was How to Discourage the Devil. Many, many years ago, when we were young Christians, there's a book called How to Discourage the Devil. And the person began to talk. What the person was mainly talking about there is the principle and power of resisting the enemy. So the devil may try to discourage you, but when you refuse to be discouraged, you put him aside. He will eventually flee. That's why God, in his own mathematics, he prefers to make us holy people, good people than even winning our battles. Because if he wins your battle and you are living a dirty life, the enemy is still coming back. The duty of resisting the devil is the only duty you can do to maintain sanity in this crazy world. What does it mean to resist? To look at your handout. So resistance is resist is a combination of two words. Re and sist. Re means back. Resistance at the back means to take a stand. So resist means to act against. You act against it. It's going one direction. It wants you to be crying, but you are smiling. It wants you to be depressed, but you are rejoicing. The enemy did everything possible to get Paul and Silas depressed. They were not the ones who went into that place by their own accord. It was God that sent them there. They got them now. They got there. Only one convert. And after one convert, they were arrested. The Bible said they dragged them on the floor. Dragged them through the streets. And the Bible said they laid many stripes upon them. They're not serving the devil. They were serving God. Many stripes upon them. That is enough to discourage anybody. Say, God, we are serving you. We came here to do your work. And how can you sit down there? You allow them to be punishing us like this. What's the sense in serving you anyway when somebody is suffering like this? They threw them into the innermost part of the dungeon. But these were strategic men. The Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. They were not quiet about it at all. At midnight. So the enemy tried to discourage this man. This man refused to be discouraged. And what was the result? The enemy had to flee. I pray for you one more time. The anointing that will terrify your enemy. And that will make them flee. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Let that amen roar like thunder. Let it roar like thunder. So to resist is to act against. To strive against. You're fighting against it. To oppose. They say this way, say no. Do it like that, no. Do this iniquity, no. To oppose it. To resist is to stand against. You stand against it. It's to turn away from. That's resistance. It's to have nothing in common with something. You don't want to have anything to do with it. It's to resist. To resist is to fight back. Fight back. To resist is to abide. They push you, you refuse to be pushed. To resist is to abstain from. To resist is to antagonize. To assail, to assault, to battle, to bear, to combat, to confront and to contend. To resist is to counteract and countervail. Is to curb. You curb the activities. To resist is to defy, to dispute, to dwell, to endure. To fight back, to forbear, to hinder, to hold off, to hold out against, to keep something from touching you, to leave alone, to persist, to prevent, to put up a fight, to refrain, to refuse, to remain. To remain firm, to repair, to stand up to struggle against, to thwart, to turn down, to withstand, to oppose. So when you resist, it means you go into conflict with a particular force, personality, situation, circumstances. Look at what is in the handout. Sometimes when you talk to backsliding Christians, and you begin to find out and wonder why they backslided, you discover that in most cases they fail to resist. Sometimes the enemy may sit tight. The enemy may even dodge your blows. The enemy may even resist your arrest. As a Christian, if you don't know how to resist, ease will not flee. If you don't know how to resist, the enemy will put you into a situation where it is harder now to fight back. Anytime the enemy does not flee, check the manner of your resistance. So in the next few weeks here, we'll begin to teach you the principles of resisting that enemy. But the bottom line, what I'm trying to introduce to you this day is this. That if you do not resist, the enemy will turn you to a slave. If you do not confront them, you do not declare conflict, the enemy will show you pepper. So the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him any place. Some people say, he who wants to eat the devil must have a long spoon. Don't dine with the devil at all. Because that's your long spoon that you are putting there. It will clamp on top of the long spoon to come and meet you. So, give no place to the devil. If you give place to the devil, he will stay. When we say, give no place to the devil, we mean, don't allow any sin in your life. We mean, don't allow other forces other than the Spirit of God to control you. We mean, don't sit down there in the camp of the enemy. We mean, don't warm yourself in the fire of the enemy. It means don't go to any place that the angels of God will not go. It means don't go into the iniquity of your father's house. It means don't eat where you should not eat. It means don't give room to loss of temper in your life. When you say, and give no place, don't give them place. If you give them place, they will build a castle and they will stay. Raise up your right hand to the heavens and shout this loud and clear. Every place I have given to the enemy, I withdraw it by fire. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree. Withdraw it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, beloved. Many of the backsliders you see, those that are now struggling to get back to Jesus, what happened was that there was a time in their lives when they needed to resist a particular thing, but they did not resist. And now the enemy has entered. And now there is a great, great problem. When you want to resist the enemy, number one, you must know your position in Christ. Know your position in Christ. He says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. If you must resist the enemy, you must know your enemy. If not, you won't know what to resist. It is foolishness to go to the military school, learn how to shoot the guns, then you get to the war front. But you don't really know who the enemy is. It's foolishness. 3. Must humble yourself before God. Pride must die. All forms of pride, of position, of name, of money, of anything must die. Then submit yourself completely to God. Make getting close to God your topmost priority. You move near to God so that God can move near to you. Once God moves near to you, then the enemy will flee. Then deal with every sin in your life. And then you must be spiritually alert. The Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist it. So if anyone is going to resist the enemy, all these points we have mentioned is something you must consider. When you say, I surrender all to Jesus, all must be surrendered. The part you did not surrender will cause trouble for you later. The one you hold tightly to will give you serious headache later. But as you continue the duty of resisting them, when they said do this, you said no. Drink that beer, no. Commit that fornication, no, not me. As they are bringing it, you are countering it. As you continue to counter it, devil flees. Because they know they cannot handle you. And they can't be wasting so much time on you when they have other people they can easily catch. They have others they can catch easily. Why waste time on this man? So they move away. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If you do not want the devourer to devour you, you must learn the principle, the mystery, and the power of resisting the enemy. Tonight, we have some really dangerous prayers to pray in this particular Bible study, which is just introducing you to this mystery of resisting the devil. A lot of strong men are falling down. These words of scripture has come to pass again. And how are the mighty falling and the weapon of war perish because of lack of resistance? I pray one more time tonight that the anointing to terrify your enemies, the anointing to resist your enemy, I command it to come upon you in the name of Jesus. Let that amen roar like thunder. Let it roar like fire. In the name of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet, please. Say, my leaf of destiny shall not wither. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Amen. With a voice that roars like thunder, you will now begin a recovery prayer, which is the prayer section we are in now in our 7 days prayer and fasting program. My stolen wealth, hear the word of the Lord. Come back in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to decree. Masateli katela kayabo shanda. Recover them. In Jesus' name we pray. I shall be greater than all the unbelievers around me. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree that I shall be greater than all the unbelievers around me. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Power! Yes. Swallowing my money. Guys, somebody needs to shout this loud. Vomit them by fire. In the name of Jesus. Something is happening here already. There are people who are breaking through here tonight. Makapota setendeke yaboshendia. Ribo sependika yaba. In Jesus' name we pray. Prosperity wasters. I am not your candidate. In the name of Jesus. Kill the prosperity wasters. In Jesus' name we pray. Say expected and unexpected income. Locate me now. In the name of Jesus. Expected and unexpected income. Locate me now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree it. It is a decree. Papaya! Katende Rebo Santa. In Jesus' name we pray. The Bible says, the Lord sent a noise unto the camp of the Syrians, and they ran and abandon their property for the children of God to inherit. As you pray this particular prayer, you will put in a prophetic action. As I clap my hands, the enemies of my prosperity shall flee in the name of Jesus. That's right. Yes. As I clap my hands, the enemy of my prosperity shall flee. Shall flee. Shall flee. Shall flee. Shall flee. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Say, I possess my possession by the power in the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to possess your possession now. Possess them. In Jesus' name we pray. I saw someone in this meeting. Some time ago, you were living in a compound where there was a grave. You will remember it right there as you are hearing. There was a grave in that compound and you were living there. But what you did not know was that it was not an ordinary grave. It was a prosperity swallowing grave. And many things that will have made you prosper has been lost to the grave yard in that compound. Makapota leka leka disa. Right there where you are another person. There is a mighty angel by your side. And his hand is coming upon you. And that yoke of the grave upon your destiny is broken completely. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Open your eyes and look at me. There's one more prayer for us to pray here today before you depart from here. It was many, many years ago. Prophet Obadare was on the pulpit preaching like this. And they were bringing in a man. The man was a university lecturer. But he ran mad inside the lecture room. Mad. So they bundled him. And they were bringing him. He was preaching at the front. They were bringing him in at the back. Just to hold him down enough for the sermon to finish so that they can take him for deliverance. And he was very violent. But the prophet Obadiah told them, those people, said, bring that prophet here. Say, ah, prophet. Say, daddy, he's not a prophet, he's a madman. He's mad, sir. Say, I say, bring that prophet. I hold him. Come here. So they bundled him. He was still fighting like this. Brought him to the altar. When he got there, man said, in Jesus' name, prophet, sit down. And the lecturer sat down. He didn't trouble anybody again. As I'm talking to you now, the prophetic anointing upon that lecturer is uncommon. What was the problem? His prosperity was as a prophet. But he was wasting time teaching in the classroom. You can see the white divide. And right there, because he was wrongly located, the enemy had a right to attack him and they attacked him. That's what happens when you are wrongly located. God should not attack you, we attack you. The world turned him away from his prosperity. The Bible says, there were some that were born eunuchs. Some became eunuch because of the kingdom of God. Then some became eunuch because the world made them eunuch. The world converted them to eunuch. Meaning that the enemy has the power to exchange somebody's destiny. This is the final prayer I want you to pray. And I want you to pray with merciless violence. Powers! Assigned to exchange my destiny. You are a liar. Die! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree. Something is happening already. Bakate satanica. Baride ni katende sencha. Makate setia boshencha. Fire! In Jesus' name we pray. What an important prayer tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I decree upon your life, if the world has made you what you are not, receive your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Answer all these prayer requests by your fire. The Lord blesses you from Zion and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Your going and your coming out shall be blessed. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't forget Wednesday service, come with your anointing and come fasting. And don't forget that Sunday is the closing date for the 70 days prayer and fasting for this year. 19 is the sealing prayer. 26th is MFM 25th year anniversary Thanksgiving and 70 days Thanksgiving. Let us share the grace in fellowship.